George Springer in about an hour and a half. Here is our Blue Jays reporter, Scott Mitchell. What's happening, Scotty?
Not too much. I'm sorry, fellas. I'm very aware of not being a scrum buster, so my phone is on silent a little too often, and apparently at key times as well.
Yeah, that's
Scotty,
fine.
I mean, like, it's still the number pops up. Like, come on.
No, when it's on silent, it does. It's just a black phone just sitting beside me. It doesn't speak to me. It allows me to get my work done, and then sometimes I look at it and say, "Uh-oh, forgot about that."
So, do those rules apply to like a Zoom call? Like, what? You're not in the scrum, so what? What's the deal with that?
I'm just very aware of my phone just going off at all. I don't like it going off at the grocery store. I just want to feel a slight buzz, and sometimes a slight buzz isn't enough.
I like it. Hey, listen, I support that. I'm not a ring guy either. Like, I never have my ring on, and I miss a ton of calls as a result. So it's all good. So you were there, or I guess you were, you know, online for the Zoom reveal of George Springer, which is very 2021. And Ross was there, Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro. Is there anything in particular that came out of it that you felt was the most newsworthy, you know, piece of information that Blue Jay fans should know?
Oh, well, look, I think, you know, people kind of look at this from a baseball sense and say, look, the Blue Jays needed a center fielder. You know, you can never have enough bats, especially one of George Springer's caliber. But it's really just how good of a fit this guy was in every scenario, no matter how you looked at it. And when you look at this Blue Jays club, there's clearly a lot of offensive talent. There's clearly a lot of infield talent. It was very clear that center field was a hole. When you can add a guy who hits 35 home runs and gets on base, from a skills perspective, that exactly fits what the Blue Jays want. They want a guy who didn't strike out a whole lot, a guy who has professional at-bats, a guy who's able to get on base, because they do have a whole lot of swing and miss in that lineup. So he fits from that perspective, and you could identify that as far back as last spring training, that George Springer was going to be that guy that they'd be in on. But when you look at what this team needs from a perspective of in the clubhouse, leadership-wise, he fits, you know, every single thing that they were looking for from that perspective, too. And everyone I've talked to that knows him from Houston, good dude, guy who is, you know, obviously accountable when he's in a slump and really doesn't ride the highs when he's hot. And when you look at where he's been and the experience he has in terms of winning a World Series and just being around a quality team for so long, it's just a seamless fit in every sense of the imagination. And when you add to that how healthy he's been and how his package of skills could age into that 35, 36-year range as you get to the back end of this deal, he's one of the safest investments on the market. And, you know, barring some sort of freak injury, you know, it's just perfect fit for the Blue Jays all around.
I believe it was Mark Shapiro who said that the heavy lifting is effectively done now, and they've done a lot of it. You know, you had Semi into the mix yesterday. We'll get to that momentarily. They've pumped some money into the staff, into the bullpen. But as much as it has been a positive couple of weeks, and they are most certainly a better team today than they were a couple of weeks ago, I don't think I'm alone in looking at the staff and wondering if it's enough. So how should we perceive that, Scott, the fact that maybe this is effectively it? They might, you know, pick up another guy or two, kind of plug them in, but that would suggest to me Trevor Bauer's not in the mix anymore, and a significant trade that might add, you know, a guy who could be a top three or four option in your rotation may not be available to them right now, or something they're willing to seek out.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong there. I think you can definitely cross finally Trevor Bauer's name off that list. And that was always a kind of a pipe dream scenario to begin with. You know, once they signed Springer, it was just scenarios that could have been in play. And I think when you look at it, we've talked about the fact that this system is really primed for a blockbuster trade at some point. You know, you look at two guys on the market, Kyle Hendricks in Chicago, potentially Luis Castillo in Cincinnati, they would be, you know, great fits, but you got to give up a whole lot of prospect capital and they do cost some money. And I don't think they're completely done yet. There is, you know, some room in the budget. I think, you know, one of these starters that's on the market, whether it's James Paxton, Jake Odorizzi, or Taijuan Walker, could be a possibility, especially if they're kind of relegated next month to, you know, say a one-year $12 million deal, something like that. I think the Blue Jays could fit that in. And, you know, you're right, though. That's not the impact people are looking for. I think they will improve this rotation before they get to spring training, whenever that may be. But I think the real, you know, option for them, and I've talked about this a little bit over the winter, is you don't need to do everything right now. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, one smart baseball person said to me a long, long time ago was, you spend the first 2 months of a 6 month season figuring out what you are, and you spend the next 2 months trying to go out and get what you need, and then you spend August and September playing baseball. And, you know, I really believe that the Blue Jays are a good enough roster and a good enough team to be able to go into the season, keep their head above water for the first half. And when I say head above water, you really just got to play over 500 baseball, especially if it's an expanded playoff situation again. And then you go into June and July, and you know, as we do every year, there are aces on the market, there are players on the market. And I really think that's when the Blue Jays could address this top of the rotation and find someone to really pair with Hyunjin Ryu heading down the stretch going into the postseason.
Scotty, where do you think Nate Pearson will be in his development? Do you think there's a chance he could be dialed in and possibly be a guy that's, you know, that up-and-coming stud where you don't even have to worry about another guy in the rotation? Or is that kind of ahead of the, you know, down the road on the curve?
Yeah, I think we're a ways away from that, just based on, you know, the scenarios and the unfortunate part of him being able not to be able to get built up at this point. And, you know, you look at the 2019 season, he finally hit 100 innings. And obviously last year it was supposed to be another bump, and the pandemic got in the way. And then the elbow injury in August got in the way again. So, you know, he only threw 20 innings last year. So when you realistically think about what he could give you this year, you know, you look at that 100 inning benchmark again, maybe a little more, but you know, the flexor tendon, the flexor strain, you know, is worrisome. So you can't push the kid. You got to be able to keep him on a schedule and whatever he's comfortable with. So, you know, I think people looking at Nate Pearson as an impact rotation guy in 2021 are going to be severely disappointed. And it's not because, you know, anything's changed on the projection or anything. I just don't know that you can look at him as anything more than a guy at this point who's kind of fighting for a rotation spot, who will, you know, make starts at some point and potentially could be a multi-inning weapon out of the bullpen. I think when you look at the way this rotation is really stacking up right now, we are looking at piggyback situations. We're looking at Robbie Ray potentially followed by Nate Pearson, and you get 3 innings out of each of those guys. I really do think we're looking at creative scenarios just with the talent on this roster, the way it's constructed, and some of the innings, you know, limits and problems that every team across baseball is going to face. So piecing pitching together is going to be a day-by-day, week-by-week scenario for just about every team. And I think Nate Pearson's stuff is going to play a role, but he's going to be severely limited in what kind of bulk innings he can give them this season.
With Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, trying to kind of map it all out, I think certainly applies to the infield and where we see this going. And I know Ross mentioned today that Vladdy is still in contention for third base, and he's very excited to see what he's going to look like when he gets there. And I saw your response on Twitter, and I agree with it. I just don't see it being in the cards. But you bring Semien in. That's probably going to move Biggio around. I guess that means they're committed to Bichette at short, and I like that. I agree with that. I think that should be the play until, you know, something pops up like next year where there could be a boatload of just stud shortstops available for you to go out and pursue. But how do you see this all playing out? You know, if it's 162 games and everyone's healthy, do you see basically Vladdy at first, Biggio at third, and the rest is history? Or what is your projection on that?
Well, yeah, first of all, I mean, you know, Ross Atkins and the Blue Jays are saying all the right things publicly, and you don't want to take something off a kid's plate that he's willing to work for if you don't have to. But, I mean, part of reporting is reading the tea leaves and looking at, you know, the reality of the situation. And, you know, there's no first baseman on the roster. They haven't been tied to any first baseman. Rowdy Tellez isn't a long-term kind of option. He could work his way into at-bats and be a very productive player, but, you know, there's a reason nobody's talked about first baseman on this team, because Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is likely going to be that guy. And they just let him work through whatever he needed to work through this winter in terms of getting his head right, getting his body right, and potentially moving back to that spot. You look at the Winter League, obviously evidence that was clear for everyone to see. And, you know, you realize he's not a major league third baseman, especially for a team that wants to contend. If this was 2 years ago and they had another year to let him run out there and be a 75-win team, sure, you could kick this down the road a little further. But Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is going to be a first baseman. Rowdy Tellez will be in that DH mix as well. The middle infield right now is completely set with Marcus Semien and Bo Bichette. And I agree with your assessment. Look, Bo Bichette has played 75 games in the big league, and this is essentially almost a tryout for him in 2021. If he looks good there, maybe the Blue Jays stay away from that deep free agent class next year. They've obviously looked at a ton of shortstops, so they're interested in improving that in that position. But when you look at Bichette, he's got 75 games under his belt. He will get 2021 to prove that he can stay at that position. Biggio will play a little third base. I think at this point, the picture is a little bit incomplete. I do think another kind of versatile player that can play a little bit of third, a little bit of outfield, could be in the cards over the next couple of weeks that would kind of help clear up that picture a little bit. But, I think when you look at this infield, it's really about those two up the middle players. And if Bo Bichette turns into what we expect and Marcus Semien can rebuild that value and put up a season like 2019, this is going to be a really good offense. And, wherever Vladimir Guerrero Jr. stands in the future, I really think he's on the verge of kind of clicking with the bat and really showing everyone, why he was so hyped a couple of years ago.
Yep, I agree with you on that. Great stuff, buddy. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Scotty.
All right, fellas. Take care.
Scott Mitchell, a Jays reporter. And, there's going to be some movement, for sure. And Biggio, I guess, is on the short end of it to an extent. I mean, he played a lot of second base over the last year and a half. But I think they see him as a versatile player. If he can become a guy like what Ben Zobrist has been throughout his career and move all over the park and offer up versatility, that's modern baseball. A lot of times you just have guys that fill in a position when you need it based on injuries, based on pitching matchups or whatever. Gives your manager a lot of different options. There's nothing wrong with that. So the Jays are most certainly a better team today than they were at the end of last season. And that's all you can ask for. Keep growing. Got to add some pitching, but they probably still have some more money to spend at some point down the road.
So I want to ask George Springer what the rule is on buying the new teammates dinner. Like, does he have the cachet to say, I don't even know you guys, like, I don't need to get you dinner? Or, if you're with the guys for a bunch of years, you're like, let's go offer a new dinner, new contract, big money.
Yeah.
I got like 150 sheets, man. Dude. Largest contract in team history.
Yeah,
you got to hook up something. Something's got to come in.
Dude, that's a new car per every guy in the team.
That's what I'm thinking. Forget dinner, man. You got to upgrade on top of that.
SUV. Yeah.
Absolutely.